From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig and sometimes other people. They're paid by a con, and they'll say,
everybody, it's Brian and Vinny's show. It's January 25, 2026, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We got a lot to talk about here today. The main topic is Saturday night's main event. We also watched Collision, although I have not watched the main event. I got it all the way to the main event and didn't have time. And Vinny can cover the main event, which technically was a CMLL match anyway. So I'll talk about all of AEW. And also, I will talk about SmackDown, what you should watch on SmackDown or not watch. So three shows, really, we are covering here today. Right. It is our weekly free show on all platforms. So if you enjoy the show, sign up today to either WrestlingObserver.com, where you can get all of the podcasts as well as all of the archived podcasts. 17,000 shows. 17,000, not 100, 17,000 shows. Dating back to 2005. And you also get all of the weekly Observer newsletters, 84 new podcasts a week, Observer archives, the board, and so much more. That's $14.95 for everything. And if you want to spend less, we have three cheaper options. YouTube, f4wonline.com/YouTube. You can get all of the video shows. You can also get video and audio on Spotify for $9.99, f4wonline.com/Spotify. And if you only want to deal with Apple, you can do Apple Podcasts, where you can get the podcast, all of the podcasts, for $9.99 a month. So YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or f4wonline.com. 84 shows a month, just like this, in beautiful HD video, except Vinny's camera might be 480p, or he's just an atrocity.
I walk around digitized.
Yeah, he walks around. He's like Bigfoot. Yeah. Did you know that Bigfoot's actually blurry?
That makes sense.
Yeah. So sign up today, everybody. It's a great time, too, because I think if you sign up today, you'll get the Royal Rumble. And if you do a three-month subscription, that'll take you all the way through WrestleMania. It's the hottest time of the year. So no better time to sign up. So we're going to get into the show here. By the way, I hear the Seahawks won.
Can confirm, yes.
I said here because at about 7 o'clock, shit started exploding.
Fireworks went off everywhere.
I thought Bothell went to war. I totally forgot there was like a game on because I don't care.
Right.
But as soon as shit started blowing up, I was like, we've either gotten a war or it was a big win for the Seahawks.
Very exciting win for the Seahawks. They only play super exciting down to the last played NFC Championship games.
Well, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Super Bowl 49 rematch.
Yeah.
Perhaps this time they won't fuck it up.
Yeah, never know.
Because they fucked it up big time last time.
Well, they almost won.
And then they fucked it up big time.
Denver,
am I wrong?
Denver fucked it up much worse the year before.
Am I wrong?
Seattle won.
I don't care about the year before. I'm talking about the last time we went to the Super Bowl against the same team. Yeah. We were this close and we fucked it up.
They made a play.
Maybe this time their fortunes will be different. You don't sound confident.
Actually, quite the opposite.
That was a pathetic sigh.
There have been... This is the fourth Seahawks Super Bowl in my lifetime. The first three going in, I thought, were total coin flips. New England's a very good team, and if Seattle doesn't take care of business, New England will win. If Seattle takes care of business, they're a much better team than New England. Mm. Way better. who I've been saying for weeks, or well, 7 days, that whoever won the Seahawks-Rams game was going to win the Super Bowl. I have been saying since like Halloween that whoever won the NFC was going to win the Super Bowl. So, yeah.
Well, you've been wrong many times.
I've been wrong so often in my life.
Yeah. You've been so sure you were right so many times, only to be wrong.
Yes.
Yes.
I fucked it up.
I predict the Seahawks, Vinny. Therefore, you and I can have a bet. I think the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl.
I do, too.
What? I thought you said they were going to lose for sure.
No, you weren't listening.
Oh, at the very beginning, I thought you said they were losing for sure. Then I didn't know who you were talking about when you were talking about who won some game. I don't know about the NFC.
Then why did you bring it up? God, I hate talking football with you.
You brought it up.
No, you didn't. You started talking about the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, because things started blowing up in my fucking neighborhood.
God, I hate talking football.
I thought planes. So you think the Seahawks are going to win?
I'm very confident the Seahawks
are going to win. All right, I bet you they are.
Okay. What?
Now, I should mention, next week is the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And
they're not winning that.
The Seahawks aren't winning the Royal Rumble?
They will not.
No shit.
I'll bet you anything.
Now, what we're going to talk about is Mark. He's going to be here.
Yay!
But I got shit I got to do that day, and the Royal Rumble is in, like, Saudi Arabia, so it's probably going to air at, like, 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. So we are not watching the Royal Rumble live and doing the show right afterwards.
Okay.
You and I and Mark are going to start watching around 5, maybe 6.
That should be fine.
I have to be in Longview all day.
Oh, no.
So I will let you guys know, so just, you know, stay off the internet.
As someone whose dad grew up in Longview.
No one wants spoilers.
Let me say this. Oh, no.
Oh, come on. I've been to Longview many times. It's fine. Actually, it's not even Longview. It's like Chehalis. But anyway, that'll be Saturday. We'll be going late, but we will do a show afterwards for all of you that want to stay up late and listen. So that's the plan. All right. Let's start with
SmackDown, I assume.
Actually, did you watch it?
I did.
Oh. Well, fine then. Good. Uh-huh. Start. I didn't think you were watching it.
We, Pearl, both of us, including me, watched WWE SmackDown January 23rd, 2026 live. From the Bell Center in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Sami Zayn comes out for a promo. He plugs the four-way at Saturday Night's Main Event. Trick interrupts. He buries Sami, insults the crowd in French. They go back and forth a little bit. Sami says, we can fight now. Trick says, no, I got a main event with Damian Priest already, which is a good excuse, I think. So Priest comes out. He dares Trick to say or do something right now. And Trick says, okay, watch this. And he cheap shots Sami and lays him out. And Damian's reaction to this was just to raise his eyebrows like, well, he did do something. It was effective. He seemed impressed with Trick. They all start brawling. Trick pushes them into each other, and he runs away.
So Trick got away scot-free here, and spoiler, he did not win the main event, but they didn't beat him.
They did not.
No, they are actually doing a pretty good job protecting Trick. Yes. He's in the main event mix. They're not beating him.
Yeah.
So everybody thinking he was going to come up and like be a mid-card guy or a jobber.
No.
I try to tell you guys, that's not the case.
They've done great with him so far.
Yes. Yeah.
Kathy interviews Randy Orton backstage, the fourth person in the four-way. Vows to win his 15th world title and win that four-way, beat Drew in Saudi Arabia, and do it with an RKO. Carmella Hayes gives Ilya Dragunov a pep talk.
This was awesome.
And once again, he says, I'm inviting you to accept my open challenge. Ilya says, Mello, I just lost to Sami Zayn. I am beaten. I am bruised. Do you think I'd be stupid enough to accept your open challenge?
In this condition.
Of course I am!
You know me so well.
Yes.
I'll see you in the ring.
Yes. And then Miz shows up and buries them both.
The storyline and real life is that he's a maniac, this Ilya Dragunov.
Yeah, it's not a storyline.
He's a complete crazy guy.
It's a fact.
And he loves it.
Yes. Carmelo Hayes versus the mad Russian Ilya Dragunov because he's so mad and also a Russian. Great match.
This match was great.
It's quite awesome.
It actually was not as good as their first match, but it was really good. And they had this spot in this match where, you know, Ilya's always been crazy, but now they're like really going hard on the guys. Like, you know, there's something wrong with this guy. So he's all bloody. Like, he got his mouth busted open somehow. I don't even know how. Just because he's Ilya Dragunov. And they end up fighting on the apron. Ilya gave him a deadlift superplex from the apron back into the ring, and then they're fighting on the apron and going back and forth. And Ilya starts screaming, I love it! It's beautiful! And Carmella looks at this guy and she goes, what is wrong with you? And Ilya starts beating his ass. He's bloody all over the place.
Yes.
I'm like, this is the greatest character. He's like Ishii, but like
happy.
Outwardly crazy.
Yeah.
Ishii's crazy, but he's quiet about it.
Yes.
This guy is joyfully crazy.
Exactly.
And they just keep beating the fuck out of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Carmelo finally hits the lung blower, and Ilya takes his bump, doing a fucking full flip.
The greatest bump in the history of gravity. That's how I describe this.
No, it was someone on Twitter.
Like Dijak went crazy about
it. Yeah, Dijak of all people.
A peer of theirs.
He came out of the blue and he goes, that was the greatest bump I've ever seen. And it was fucking incredible. He took a full gainer flip bump.
A forward flip bump off a code breaker.
Yes.
Yeah. It sounds physically impossible.
Carmelo pinned him.
Yeah.
This goddamn match was awesome. We had this is awesome chance, holy shit chance. I mean, they loved it. Great heat, great match. It was awesome.
It was beautiful. Beautiful pro wrestling. Michael Cole starts to do a sit-down interview with Cody Rhodes.
This, I must interrupt. Dude, this was the best thing on SmackDown. I can't say, like, of all things, because they've had so many good U.S. title open challenge matches. But if you take out, like, wrestling, if you just take out all of the other, whatever you want to call it, cinema, angles, storylines, whatever, this was like the best thing on SmackDown maybe in years. Because I'm trying to think of the last segment that when it was halfway through, I stopped taking notes. I was like, I just got to watch this. And then I watched it again to take notes. And then once the notes were taken, I wanted to watch it again to enjoy it. And then when it was over, I watched it again to enjoy it. And then a third time after I was done, I was like, oh my God, this fucking Jacob Fatu. He talks about being a criminal and being locked up at 16 and locked up at 18. And this guy must have had a lot of problems for it to have taken as long as it did for him to get to WWE. Because he is an unbelievable promo. Like, you realize that Cody, you know Cody, the story about his dad and his gold watch and the whole deal?
Rings a bell.
His dad sold that watch so Cody could go, not to be a pro wrestler, but to become an actor.
Yes.
Cody studied with Howard Fine. Do you know who that is?
Not from that.
One of the greatest acting coaches there's ever been. Mm-hmm. Cody is like a trained actor.
A thespian.
I don't want to say he wasn't good in this because he was really good. But like, this was one of those things where like, you watch a movie and there's like some great actor like Jack Nicholson or something crazy. But then there's some like somebody else who outshines like the Oscar winner and you're just astounded. That was fucking Jacob Fatu in this segment. This guy was so fucking incredible. Because here's the thing. It's also Howard Fine. You don't look at Jacob Fatu and think, this is some fella acting. You think, holy shit, this guy's a real fucking deal. That's what makes you a great actor. He was so good in this segment. And I was just like, can we put every belt in the entire company on this guy? He was just outstanding. I just was blown away by how good this guy was. Fucking great.
So the premise is Cody is there for a sit down. Almost immediately, Jacob storms in. Cody says, no, bring him in. Let him in. We can talk. We're going to fight on Saturday night anyway. Let me hear what he has to say. And Jacob explains he attacked Drew McIntyre. He was there to attack Drew alone. He didn't care about anybody else. Cody put his hands on Fatu. That's when Jacob lost his mind. Cody says, yeah, you lost your mind. That way you act instead of thinking. That's why you got locked up in prison in the first place. And that is when Fatu went off. He talked about being locked up at 16 and 18. His many stints in jail. Talked about his kids. Talked about knowing his career could end at any second because of all the mistakes he had made.
When he said 16, locked down. 18, locked down. 7 kids. No job. 1 mattress. I was like, he's telling Dusty Rhodes' son about fucking hard times.
Yes, he is. That's true. That is true. The thing is, he wasn't acting. I'm sure this is all 100% true.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Yeah. But he's expressing it. Fantastically. He is now making better choices and trying to be a better man. Cody's like, I don't care. You still cost me the world title.
Not just that, Vinny. Mm-hmm. He said, those very choices made me a better man.
I see.
I am capitalizing on these lockdowns. Mm-hmm.
So when Cody tries to blame Jacob for him losing, Jacob says, essentially, whatever. Drew was already out the door. He would have won if I hadn't been there. which, as I recall, might be true. Don't really remember. But Jacob laughs off title matches. Like, that's not even what he cares about. He is not like every other Samoan Cody has fought.
They don't make him like me no more. No. Hell, they never made him like me.
Everyone thinks I'm out of control, but I'm actually very in control. And that was that.
God damn. Can you all stop this podcast and just go watch this segment? I don't care if you don't like WWE, if you don't like Triple H, whatever. Just go watch this guy, and you'll be astounded.
Chelsea Green sucks up to Jordan Grace backstage, offers her a spot in the secret Hervis. They can start next week in the Rumble and work together, or better yet, start tonight. You can corner me against Jade Cargill. And Jordan's eyes light up. You're wrestling Jade? I'll be there.
Should mention, by the way, that they announced that Cody and Fatu were both kicked out of the building after that. It was kind of like, why?
They were both...
I mean...
They were passionate.
They were both in control.
Nobody threw... There was no violence.
Nah. Or even this wasn't Tony D.
No.
This wasn't Keanu Carver.
No, no, no. This is two men who needed to calm down. And things could not have... they could not afford an escalation or anything, but... Yeah. Guys get thrown out for... Or don't get thrown out for much worse than... You muted me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chelsea Green versus Jade Cargill. So Jordan distracts Jade and Chelsea has to dive to take over. They are in Canada, so the crowd loved Chelsea. It didn't last. Jade gets back in control, stops to badmouth Jordan some more, which lets Chelsea hit a missile dropkick and try a pin while using the ropes, but Jade still kicks out. And Jade finally wins the Jaded. Jordan is bummed. Match is fine.
Dude, this match, I mean, it's not just this, but there's... Actually, this is another one. It's in every company now. Why do we have so many heel versus heel matches and face versus face matches? It's okay every now and then, but like, it honestly took me at least a full minute before I remembered that Jade is supposed to be a heel. Because Chelsea, immediately before this match, is healing it up big time backstage.
Yes.
And then she comes out here and she's basically working the heel role against Jade, who essentially worked this match as a babyface.
I guess.
Even though she's a heel. Well, like, it's 2-on-1. They're trying to, like,
well, it's 2-on-1
with interference.
It's only 2-on-1 because she distracted herself to talk to Jordan.
Well, sure.
Jordan was standing there. Didn't do a damn thing.
Still.
There was no interference. There was not really a distraction.
And then Jade boots her off the apron. She beats Chelsea. No, Alba tried to interfere, too.
No, did she?
So, yeah.
All right.
And then, so basically, she overcame 3-on-1 odds, realistically, even though one didn't do anything. And when she got the win, people cheered.
Well, all right. So Jordan then vows to win the Royal Rumble, and then she'll challenge Jade, or they can do this right now. But then they are separated.
Well, and actually, Jade bailed, so she did get booed there.
Okay.
They had to remind us.
She did two turns in the segment. She turned babyface when it started, then turned back heel when it was done. Charlotte and Alexa have a backstage meeting, making sure they're focused on tag team goals. Talk about the Rumble last year, how Alexis made a big return, and then Charlotte won it. They agree it's about the team tonight. They're worried about the Rumble next week. I think it was funny. After all these months, they're finally starting to show a little chemistry. It took a long ass time. I thought so. Better
1%.
Than it used to be. That's better
than
zero.
0 to 1%.
That's an improvement.
All right.
So the Sokoa does a promo, vows to win the Rumble, bring back the undisputed title of the MFTs, and as long as he has this lantern, there's nothing you or he can do about it. You or he says, looking to the sky. Bray Wyatt himself is going to interfere.
Why can they say Bray Wyatt's name?
I don't know.
He's literally, that's what we're doing here.
It's all.
It's not like he works for AEW. He passed away.
Yes.
He worked for WWE. It's a WWE gimmick. It's just bizarre.
So the match is Joe Gacy and Dexter Lumis versus Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga for the tag titles. Right after the commercial, Joe Gacy gets his hot tag. It's great, as always.
He's a good babyface.
He's an outstanding babyface.
It's the only good thing in this match.
I enjoyed the circus, because the circus immediately started.
But it was so much fucking interference. I'm sick of interference.
Well, I got bad news
for
you.
And it was one after another after another.
Oh, it was a total
after
circus.
Another.
This is not a 2-on-2 match. This is a 5-on-6 match, or however many people are out there. Eric Rowan is running wild. Tala Tonga comes out with a lantern. So they go to brawl. And, the hell's his name? Jeff Cobb, or whatever it's called now, JC Mateo. He grabs Rowan from behind. Rowan spins and hits him. And Rowan turns around, and Tala Tonga boots Eric Rowan right in the face. That looked no fun. And they do some stuff, and Solo hits Uncle Howdy with a spike outside. He clobbers.
Could you be less enthused? I told you this sucked.
Clobber. I'm not so much unenthused as I am going back over my notes trying to remember what happened.
Yes, because it was a bunch of shit that happened.
It was, in fact, a bunch of shit. Yeah. A bunch of stuff, I would say. Solo clobbers Dexter with a lantern. Tama Tonga pins him with a hidden blade. And I wrote, largely a circus, but a pretty fun circus.
Match was below average, and all the shitty interference and gimmicks made it worse, I wrote. And then Brandon here goes, this title change felt so meaningless. I swear to God, until he wrote that, I forgot it was even a title change. I mean, I just watched this show.
That was not the best championship Brandon ever saw by the Wyatt Six there.
Dude, they were champions forever.
I know. For months and months and months. And you still kind of forgot it. Sucks. Yeah, that's true. Truth is still making ball jokes with Nick Aldis. Let it go. Let us stop. AJ interrupts. Aldis wants to make sure that AJ really does want to put his career on the line against Gunther at the Rumble. AJ is sure. He knows that John Cena went out like a man on a shield. But anyway, he wants to fight. And he also knows, Aldis knows this, you must have another reason to have flown me into Montreal. Christ, I hope so, because that could have been a phone call. So Nakamura is there. He also wants to make sure that AJ is ready, wants to make sure he's still phenomenal, challenges him to a match on Saturday night's main event, and AJ clears it with Nick, and the match is on. Nathan Frazer versus Johnny Gargano. They acknowledge the passing of Bobby Duncombe Sr. They had a match that had a lot of distraction. Candice is out there distracting. Frazer left and right. Yeah, yeah.
God damn.
So what bothered me about stuff they're doing again, this all ends when Axiom takes out Candice by taking the mask of his that they stole and putting it on her head backwards. So she's blind, she hits her husband, Johnny Gargano, and Nathan hits a cradle and wins.
Dude, at least it was unique. I actually had no problem with this finish for two reasons. Number one, they did something different. And number two, she fucking hit him so hard.
Well,
she hit
I'm glad
him
you enjoyed that.
Harder than, like, what was the last? It was Roddy and Marina.
She hit him.
Didn't
really
she chop him really hard in the back or something?
Really,
or maybe
really
vice versa?
Yeah, yeah.
She just hauled off, and you could just hear this thwack. And this guy went down holding his face. I mean, I was like, oh my God. And then
well, she couldn't see.
The point is, yeah, he put the mask on her.
Yeah.
It helped
backwards.
It helped his guy win.
Yeah.
But then he had the mask. He just took it off of her because she can't see. So like everything worked out fine. He had his mask back, but then she stole it and snuck away.
Okay. That annoyed
me. He's an idiot, but...
Well, that too, but...
I got to keep it going, because now we got to do this Axiom versus Johnny Gargano.
That is two back-to-back segments here that have been built around stolen property. One of them, at least, is like a special symbolic lantern. It carries, they say, the spirit of our dearly departed Bray Wyatt. This is just a mask. He's got more. He's wearing one.
I'm not sure why the match... It's not like it's... If it were Ilya LaFleur... who was specifically given his specific match by his trainer, and he that's one thing.
Yeah.
Or if you're a legit luchador and your father passed down the mask, this is a guy who I guess they thought looked too generic, even though he's a handsome man. They gave him a mask for reasons unknown. He's worn it for years. It's never meant anything.
Yeah.
They make fun of everyone knowing who he really is. So yeah, I don't understand why he's so mad that one of his 55 masks was stolen.
Yeah.
His current mask is better anyway.
Last Legend and Nia Jax tell Kathy, and they're very clear to get her name out there, so good work for them. They're going to win that three-way tag match tonight, and then as a team, they are going to win the Royal Rumble. Drew McIntyre does a promo. Still denies being the one who took out Jacob Fatu.
Yes, and even he says, you know, if I had done it, I'd be bragging about it.
Yes.
I never lie. And someone did bring up to me that every single time they talk about Fatu... they very specifically state he got his teeth kicked out. And of course, we don't know that. We just saw him on the ground with teeth on the ground. He could have got hit with a pipe. He got hit. But they always say he got his teeth kicked out, kicked down his throat, whatever. You know who does a punt?
Interesting.
Yes.
So Cody Rhodes, whatever happens with the Fat Two, I'm only giving you a rematch if you win the Royal Rumble a third time. Good luck with that. Buries everyone in the four-way, tricks a rookie, Priest is a one-hit wonder, Randy can't get the job done when it counts. Last and certainly least is Canada's own Sami Zayn. Sammy, your son's been disappointed with you since the first time he realized you were his father. Doesn't matter who wins the four-way. I'm going to beat him at the Rumble. Rey Fénix confronts Trick Williams backstage. Trick says, yes, I did you a big favor by beating you up last week, making you famous. I'm happy to do charity work. Fénix has not forgotten. He wants another match. Trick says, after I win that title, you can get the first title shot if I remember your name.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Kathy interviews Kit Wilson. This is the second SmackDown in a row that Kit Wilson has been on and they have not played his music. She plays music every single time, even, nay, especially for his backstage promos. That seems like the kind of thing this guy would be into. So he says men like Jacob Fatu, men like Matt Cardona, they never question themselves. Cardona interrupts and asks why he's got such a problem with him. Wilson says, you never take accountability. You have toxic masculinity. Cardona says, I have no idea what you're talking about. Let's just fight.
I howled. That's the first thing that Kit Wilson has ever done with this gimmick, where I was like, okay, that was incredible. He accuses this guy of having toxic masculinity, and the guy goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to kick your ass.
Yes.
Howled.
So Kit says this proves his point. And
did he have to kill the joke? God.
Typically says he chooses violence. And so it just ended. And I'm still sad they didn't play a song, although I can guess I'm going to play it on YouTube whenever I want. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax and Lash Legend versus Julia and Kiana James.
God damn, this was bad. By WWE current women's wrestling standards, this was like...
It was not a good match.
Julia looked good, and Kiana looked good. Charlotte, I think she's got like... I think her knees have to be killing her or something. She is so slow. It is astounding how slow she is. And then on top of that, it's like she's yelling. She's like John Cena now. She's yelling spots. They're going for a double suplex on Charlotte, and Charlotte's going to turn into a DDT, and she's upside down. You just hear her going, one, two, three, and then they do the spot, like looking right at the camera. And Alexa's hot tag was okay, and then she had to do a tornado DDT on Nia, and it was atrocious. And then... God, it was just one thing after another in this match. It's like, at the beginning, Charlotte and Lash, they had to do a high cross spot, but they had to land in position for somebody to, like, break it up or something. And it was, like, the worst high cross I think I've seen in my whole life. And how can you screw up a high cross when you're jumping off the top onto Nia Jax? Or no, was it Lash? Either way! Like, how can you screw this up? But it looked terrible. And then Julia tags in, and it was like she just thought, son of a bitch, fuck this shit. And she starts beating the shit out of people, just chopping them and pounding on them. And then Charlotte tags in, and she's chopping her like... I was like, oh my God, what is happening here? This match was bad. Bad!
So what was most fascinating to me is they were tripping over themselves to talk about how great Kiana James is. There was a spot...
And she won.
Well, then she won, so that's great.
They're trying to do something with her.
But they have the spot where Nia and Charlotte are fighting up top, and they're like in superplex position, and Kiana comes up to powerbomb them, which is just Nia taking a back bump, and they're pushing it like it's a Ken Patera feat of strength. And then the finish, Lash drops Alexa with her wacky convoluted facebuster thing. Lash is then speared by Charlotte, so she can't make the cover, and Kiana zooms in out of nowhere, does the big Andre the Giant running splash, and makes the pin. And they're like, look how smart and tactical Kiana James is.
They're trying with somebody.
She pinned somebody. They're trying. I guess that's good. But her partner is Julia. Push her.
All right. I got to talk about this next segment because it ties into the main event. You know where this show was?
Montreal.
Yeah. Now, granted, I mean, much of this, it doesn't matter because Saturday night's main event was also in Montreal and Sammy was over like a god. But this show is in Montreal and Sami Zayn, hometown hero, meets with Damian Priest. And he says, I got no problem with you, but I got a big problem with Trick. I know you guys are wrestling tonight. If that guy does anything I don't like, I'm going to be out there and I'm going to beat him. And Priest goes, oh, wait a second. Don't even think about it. You have a habit of getting involved in other people's matches. This is my match. Stay out of it. And Sami Zayn looks at him and he goes, or what? And you could just hear the crowd go, oh. Like, what the fuck? And Priest goes, you know what? And Sammy goes, you don't get to tell me what to do this week or any week. He says, I'll see you when I see you, but I got more important things to do right now. And he goes off and he slaps Drew across the face. He walks off. And I just watched his segment. I was like, what a heelish dick. This is another guy's match, a one-on-one match. And you're basically saying, if the other guy does something I don't like, I'm going to interfere in your match. And the guy tells you no, and your response is, I can do whatever the fuck I want. Who are you to tell me I can't interfere in your match? I was like, that was fucking bizarre. And it got weirder later.
Cody confronts AJ Styles, wishes him good luck against Gunther, and then finds an autographed picture of Drew on his bus. So even though Drew has said, I will only defend against you if you win the Royal Rumble, he's still needling him and being a dick. Kathy interviews Kiana James and Julia. They vow to win the tag titles. Then Julia is going to win the Royal Rumble and become a triple champion.
Yeah.
Like 10 days ago, I watched Ava tell Ethan Page, no, we're not doing double champions anymore. You have to forfeit your title if you want to contend for
number
one.
Luckily, Ava's not the GM of this place.
But they're the same company.
It doesn't matter. Vinny, Ava is like Ed in San Antonio. Just does what she wants.
That's the highest praise you've ever given her.
And is completely incompetent.
Well, that fits. Yeah, that
she's sense. Actually a better promoter than Ed.
Wow. Your main event is Damian Priest versus Trick Williams. They do some stuff.
Fuck, it's another one. Who comes down to the ring after being told not to?
That'd be Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn. They do a spot where Sammy's out there at ringside. Trick runs Priest into Sammy, throws Priest in the ring. Sammy just fucking hits the ring for the DQ. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
It was
me.
Pretty lame.
And when he ran in, it was like, it wasn't even like a pop. Nobody cared. And he starts running wild and, you know, he's not getting a big babyface reaction. He even sounded like some people were booing in Montreal for Sami Zayn. And so then Priest shoves him and Sammy attacks Priest. And I'm like, what has Priest done to like deserve this? Like, he's getting attacked by a guy he told not to come down, who interfered after he told him not to. And then finally at the end, Priest lays out Sammy. Trick lays out Priest. Trick is standing tall. Randy Orton hits the ring. And Randy Orton ends up giving Trick the RKO. And as God is my witness, he got like twice as big a pop as Sami Zayn did by this point in the show. I was like, this is the worst booking I've seen in months, what they did with Sami Zayn on this show. Luckily, as noted, on Saturday night's main event, like, it ended up working out fine, but goddamn, what in the fuck was that?
You didn't even mention that Sammy then stared down Randy, and Randy gave him an RKO.
That's right! And they cheered Randy!
Yes.
This was bizarro world. Everything was back to normal the next night.
Yes, which I guess we'll discover right now. We watched WWE Saturday's main event, January 24th, 2026. Joe Tessitore snowed in a Detroit airport, which meant Solo, Stephanie McMahon. Thank God for the fast forward button. Cody Rhodes.
Nothing of note. Although they didn't have the old school Saturday night's main event music. Maybe that was something.
I should mention, I had a bitch of a time finding this show.
I don't know how, dude. I opened up Peacock. I hit search. I typed in WWE and it was right there.
I went to
what
Peacock.
What were you searching for?
Peacock used to have a WWE button, first of all.
Well, they're gone now.
So I loaded up Peacock. I don't see anything. I scroll down. I go to search. I search Saturday Night's Main Event.
Mm.
It brings
amateur.
Up all the Saturday Night's Main Events except this one. So when I hit play, it starts playing the Cena Farewell Show. It's like, what the hell is going on? And so I start Googling. Is it on Amazon Prime? Is it on Netflix? I loaded up both of those. I couldn't find it. And finally, I texted you. I used it to search WWE, and that worked. And I found it, and I watched it.
All right, I got to talk about this opener real quick. It's Fatu and Cody Rhodes. Fatu on his way to the ring since he went from EBT to WWE. I was like, this guy is going to be the top babyface sooner rather than later. I don't even know why he's a heel right now. So he comes out, and he attacks Cody during his entrance, and they start brawling. And this ref gets bumped, and bunch of officials hit the ring to try to calm it down, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I'm going to calm it down and then get the match going. I mean, there's only four matches announced. Like, they can't just, like, not do one match. But then it's becoming abundantly clear, this match ain't going to take place. And my first thought is, what the fuck's going on? You got a four-match Saturday night's main event. One of them is just announced the night before. It's a big match, Cody and Fatu. You're really just going to do a run in before the match and geeks separate them and like we're not going to have the match. Like that is bullshit. But then they keep fucking brawling.
Mm-hmm.
I think they brawled for about 18 minutes. And they brawled into the crowd. They brawled into the stands. They brawled into the mezzanine. They are fucking wiping out security guards. Their security guards getting fucking put through tables. Their security guards getting thrown off cliffs and shit. They're just, the crowd's chanting, "This is awesome," for a brawl. And they keep brawling and brawling. And they, and after about the 10, 12 minute mark of brawling, I'm like, okay, at this point, you know, I know we don't like to do guns and such in wrestling, but like, where are the fucking cops with guns? They've been fighting for like 12 minutes. They're killing security guards. They're killing officials. They're putting everyone's lives in danger. Like, where the fuck are the cops? So they keep brawling all over the place, and one guy yells, "Fatu, think about the rumble!" And Fatu gives this guy a fucking uranage through a table. He's dead. And Aldis is there, and he's screaming at them to stop. And finally, they get up on this box, and they're beating the shit out of each other on top of this box. And this moron idiot security guard jumps onto the box to try to stop him. And they both stop fighting. They grab this guy. They double choke slam him to fucking hell through a table. He's dead. They start punching each other again. I swear to God, it's like 18 minutes into this brawl now. Crowd's going fucking wild. And then, rising from out of nowhere is Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre grabs Fatu. He tosses his ass from his platform. He grabs Cody. He power bombs his ass through this table. Both off a platform. And they're dead. And I thought, this fucker, in 10 seconds, did what 35 fucking security guards couldn't do in 18 minutes. That's why he's the champion. He fucking ended this fight and beat both their asses. By himself, by the way. Mm-hmm. He didn't even hit him with like a fucking gimmick or blow some shit up. It was like, after 17 minutes, he was like, enough of this shit. And this guy shows up and he took them both out. And then like he's standing tall. And I'm like, God damn. So then, like, Michael Cole, he goes, "What's this guy doing?" He's like yelling at Drew McIntyre. "What's this guy thinking?" I'm like, "What are you thinking?" What this guy's doing is saving fucking Saturday night's main event. Because these two guys were going to fucking brawl for 2 straight hours, and every fucking security guard in Montreal was getting killed, thank fucking God, for Drew McIntyre. And then, they go backstage, and the lady's there, whatever her name is, and she goes, "Drew, do you have an explanation for what you just did?" I was like, "An explanation? What are you talking about? What the fuck does this guy got to explain?" I felt so, like, what am I watching here? What am I watching? This is the gaslighting of all guys. Drew's a bad guy? What? So anyway, this was astounding. He was the baddest motherfucker in the history of WWE when he ended this 18-minute fucking fight in 10 seconds by himself. I was like, holy shit. We need, 15 Drews. There'd never be a problem anymore on this planet. God.
So I watched this a couple hours after the fact. It had been spoiled for me. I knew this match had a brawl and the match never happened. And they start fighting in or maybe right next to the ring. And right away, Fatu does a big, barely in control triple jump dive to the floor. I think he actually missed Cody and wiped out some security guys. But they were separated and Fatu starts to walk to the back. I'm like, that's it? That's the whole thing? That was not the whole thing. So yes, even though there was no match, they brawled for so long. And it was so exciting, and the crowd was so into it, it did not feel like a ripoff. It didn't feel like a bait and switch. If you tune in to see Cody Rhodes and Jacob Fatu have a fight, you got to see Cody Rhodes and Jacob Fatu have a fight. And then Drew comes in and finally ends things, and my favorite part maybe of the whole bit is there's bodies everywhere and carnage and ruin and rubble, and Michael Cole, for 5 seconds, just turns into Lance Russell. He just shakes his head and says, "What a mess." We were 20 minutes into the show by that point.
I loved this.
That was great.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. And then Kathy does a little interview with Drew. Drew says, "My message to everyone on the roster, don't fuck with me." Basically a quote. Io Sky and Rhea Ripley versus Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez.
Oh, God.
So right away, they get the heat on Io. She's down. Liv gives her three amigos, and she's down on one knee. And then Liv Morgan kicks Io Sky right in the head. And I screamed. And they go to show a replay. It's a slow motion replay. And like they're going to do the gimmick where they do show it in slow motion right before impact and then speed it up. Nope. They showed it in very slow motion to emphasize the CTE going on here. Then they just spent 10 minutes hitting big moves for near falls with nothing in between. Hit me with a power bomb. I will sell it for 2.9, but no longer, and then stand up totally fine and do something to you. Over and over and over again. And finally, Raquel Rodriguez is out there. Io hits a moonsault and makes a cover. Raquel Rodriguez trips Rhea in such a way that Rhea falls on top of the ref and murders him. Stephanie Vaquer runs out to attack Raquel. Somehow the match just continues. And Liv hits Oblivion on Io, but in the process, Rhea blind tags in, hits a knee, and Riptide for the win. I would like to note that Rhea and Io were throwing shots to the head and not killing anyone. It can be done.
If this would have been on pay-per-view and I had to rate it, I probably would have given it the old NR, no rating. Like, I have no idea how to even rate this match because the positives were everybody worked their ass off and the fans were going fucking wild for this match. They were so into this match. And like when it was over, my first thought was, God damn, that was fucking really good. But then there was a back of my mind that was like, brother, what do you really think? Because first off, they did a match, or they did a spot, and Rhea hits a running kick on Liv, and she goes for the fucking cover, okay? I've been watching wrestling for 39 years now, okay? Almost 40 years I've been watching professional wrestling, okay? And with the exception of heel referees and you know, spots on purpose where you got a heel ref, in 39 years, I have never seen worse officiating than I saw in this match. Rhea goes for a cover. I put this on my ex-subscribers. Liv is sideways. She is literally on her side. And the referee starts counting. And Wade Barrett is like, shoulder is way up. He's aghast. He can't even begin to like, he starts like talking about how this referee sucks. And like, I swear to God, everybody, she was so on her side when the referee started counting that you know how they say your shoulders have to be down for three? It's actually your shoulder blades. Like your shoulder blades are down. I don't think either one of her shoulder blades was on the mat when this ref fucking starts counting. So I'm just like, I'm hot. I'm like, how the fuck? What were you thinking? Why did you count that? So then, like 2 minutes later, they do another spot. And somebody goes for a cover, and Rhea is supposed to make the save, okay? Io hit the moonsault on maybe Liv or whoever. So whatever happens. Roxanne got the knees up. Roxanne hits some pop rocks on Io, and Rhea's supposed to make the save. It doesn't matter, but the point is, Rhea is late, okay? She's late. This same referee who counted the pin when she was literally on her side, he holds up his count so that Rhea can break up the thing. The fans start booing, okay? It's now two times, all right? Now, granted, both of them were not planned. They were both incompetence by the referee, okay? But we're at two now. So by the time Raquel shows up and she yanks the feet and, like, Rhea falls on top of this goddamn referee and now he's knocked out, at that point, like, in my brain, it's like, that's three fucking times. What the fuck is going on here? Now the ref is dead after all that? So now I'm hot. I'm like, fuck, what are we doing? Even though it was only the first, it was legitimately only the first time, but in real life, it was a third bullshit thing with the referee in this match. So I'm like, fuck this. And then Stephanie comes down and, you know, Stephanie had a walking boot like on Raw. Now she's sprinting. So like, are we supposed, what are we, like in real life, what, you know, it wasn't that bad, obviously. But in storyline, what are we supposed to think? She was lying? She's a baby face that was full of shit? Because like a week ago, she had a walking boot and she put a picture of her foot all blue. Now she's sprinting to the ring. So she runs wild and everything like that. And then we have the finish and everything. And like the match itself, I mean, it was really good. But holy shit, there was a lot of shit that happened in this match.
My goodness, you got a lot out of that.
Bro, you got to go back and watch this cover, Vinny.
I believe you.
I mean, if you guys, like, I know you liked the match. That's great. It was the worst refereeing. I swear to God, I've never seen worse legitimate refereeing in my life. It was like Kamala. Even the ref told Kamala he had to turn the guy over, right?
Yes.
You never saw the ref count when Kamala had the guy in his stomach.
No.
That's basically what this referee did. She was sideways. God. It's preposterous. The sanctity of this sport, Vinny.
Yeah, it's very important. Important. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Now, this was awesome.
They basically just came out and had a G1 match here in 2026
at
WWE.
Dude, if this would have been, like, how many times have we seen a match with somebody that was in New Japan and we're like, you know, this match was really great, but it would have been way better in any other promotion or in AEW or the Tokyo Dome. If these guys would have had this match at Wrestle Kingdom, it would have been, I swear to God, the exact same match.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. I do want to point out, you mentioned, I think it was Liv, who was pinned while on her side. AJ appeared to have curled up on his side in a tanning bed and fallen asleep because his ears were red, like Great Muta's face paint or Kane's gear. That was weird. Didn't seem to affect him. They had a great match. Nakamura has looked better these past couple weeks than he has in a long time.
Yes, I think he was motivated by the Tokyo Dome.
Maybe, but he's wrestling shirtless for the first time in years and years and years. He had that great match. I think it was Carmelo on SmackDown a few years
back.
Yes,
it was Carmelo.
He had this excellent match with AJ.
Yes.
And it was excellent, and it was totally a New Japan match.
I bet you anything that he watched that Okada-Tanahashi match. And
so bummed he couldn't be there?
Well, that and also, like, they had an incredible match, and Tanahashi is 1/10 as mobile as Nakamura.
Yeah.
And it's not like Okada. Like, he's significantly, you know, he's way less beat up. But it's not like he does anything. He's just great at everything he does. So I think Nakamura's, like, motivated, like, I could do this shit. And he is.
And he is. They had a long submission battle in the middle of the match, in the middle of the ring. And AJ gets a calf crusher, and Nakamura reverses to an armbar, transitions from there to a triangle. There is a part here when they separate, and Nakamura charges and eats a diving knee. It was executed so perfectly. It's not kneecap to chin. It's the meat of the thigh to the, well, chin still, but and it looked awesome, and Nakamura's like sliding onto his knees and falls to his back. It looked like he took his head off, but he was not, because they're trained pros and they know what the hell they're doing. So AJ's working over the leg. Nakamura keeps trying the Kinshasa, but his leg gives out. He can't even run. Can't run to hit this jumping move. They try to hit finishers for a while. They're countered. And then they just, they went on for a little too long, if I'm being honest. I do think the match peaked at like a minute or two before the finish.
I don't know about that. But I thought it was awesome.
They countered finishers a lot until none of the finishers are countered, and AJ hits the final phenomenal forearm, and the Styles Clash gets the win. It was very, very good.
This is a match where, like, in a normal year, I would say this was the best WWE match in forever, but can't say that with all these U.S. title open challenges.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a great WWE match every single week on SmackDown. I can't remember the last time we didn't have a great match on SmackDown because of the U.S. title open challenge. But this was the best Nakamura match in 2 weeks, and it was much better than the WrestleMania match. Miles
yes.
better.
Yes.
And it was flat out great. Loved it.
Your main event, Randy Orton versus Trick Williams versus Damian Priest versus Sami Zayn for the top contender spot. So, somebody makes a cover here early, and Cole says there are no rope breaks in a four-way. Why not? It's not false count anywhere. It's no DQ, but anyway. So, early on, guys just take turns doing stuff, and as the match progresses, they're still taking turns doing stuff, but the stuff they're doing is bigger and more intense. So, it had build. It wasn't random. Randy, in particular, appears to be running totally wild. He slams Trick on the announce desk repeatedly. Then he slams Sammy in the announce desk. Then he slams Damien in the announce desk. And he's running very wild. He gets his RKO and somebody gets his double draping DDT. Eventually, he's cut off, and they take turns hitting big moves for a while. Randy's thrown out of the ring. Damian Priest and Trick Williams are brawling. Trick ends up on the apron, and Priest goes to the corner and knocks him off. But as soon as Priest turns around, Sammy is there to boot him in the face and pin him. Hit the Helluva Kick kind of out of nowhere and got the win. It was a good match. It would have been better one-on-one versus any two of these guys. And they could have put Sammy over stronger.
Well, that's the biggest thing.
This did not feel like he beat three dudes. It felt like he was in the right place at the right time and got lucky.
Well, it felt like he was the smartest.
Honestly?
Which what you want is for us to think he's the best.
Yes. This is no different than what they did with Kiana James earlier.
Yes.
And she's a heel.
Yes. Well, that's not that he's a heel, but like he was the one who was in the right place at the right time to win this match. I think that he should have dominated the last 30 seconds and had a decisive win. Because you're going for the world title at the Royal Rumble. And it's not just a random world title match. He's never won the world title, and he's never beaten Drew.
Yeah.
That's the story they've been telling. They're 11-0. Drew's won every single match. Sammy's going for the title again in Saudi Arabia.
In Saudi Arabia.
After winning in Montreal. So, I mean, honestly, probably should win.
I can't imagine he won't.
I can imagine he won't. Because I could imagine a scenario where he doesn't win, but then he wins the Rumble next year and wins the title in Saudi Arabia at WrestleMania. I could at a WrestleMania instead of at a Royal Rumble. I could see them doing that, holding it off again. But I do think that he should probably just win here, because who knows where everyone's going to be in a year. But anyway,
a lot of conjecture at this point.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
But afterwards, you know, Drew tried to jump him. Sammy sent him packing. I thought this was a very good main event. I thought every match was good to great. I thought it was the best Saturday night's main event they've had since they've reintroduced it.
Probably.
One of the best Saturday night's main events they probably ever had.
It was a very good show.
I mean, even those early ones would have like a great, you know, they'd have some
great
matches.
There'd be a lot of crap.
But yeah, they'd have some Bushwhackers match.
There was no crap on here.
Some nothing happening match that would end before the show was over. But anyway, this was great. And if you have not been watching a lot of WWE, this would be a good one to watch. Because this actually was the best of WWE, although there were, you know, there was some...
It wasn't perfect.
No.
There was room for improvement.
You're always going to have some interference and some chicanery, but I thought it was overall pretty great.
We also watched AEW Collision.
Most of it.
January 24th, 2026. I watched the whole thing.
I got all the way to that Roddy match. Just ran out of time at the end.
From the Edition Financial Arena in Orlando, Florida, your announcers are Tony Schiavone, Excalibur, and Paul White. First time we've heard from him in a long time.
Well, of course, this was taped immediately after Dynamite, and it was not planned to be taped after Dynamite. It just was, because they had canceled the Texas show, and so I don't think they wanted the announcers to have to go. It's kind of funny, because if you watch the pay-per-views, announcers go like 6 hours all the time. But for some reason, they didn't want the announcers to have to go 4 hours, so they brought different people in to do the announcements for Collision.
Your opener, Hangman Page versus Katsuyori Shibata.
The highlight of this match was Let's Go Horsecock and Fuck Him Up Horsecock, Fuck Him Up Chance.
Yes. If you're not aware, Speedball, who is now Hangman's tag team partner, or trio's partner, wants their team to be known as Horsecock per social media. And he's trying to get this over, trying to get fans to chant it, and so far it's working. We'll see how this goes. They had a very good opener. They suplexed each other repeatedly, hit a double elbow for a double down. Hangman has a dead eye on the apron, which I thought Shibata should have been out to like Mania season. He came right back. Hangman tries a buckshot. Shibata hits an STO instead, but Hangman avoids the hesitation dropkick, hits the buckshot, gets the win. It was a good match.
I'm not sure about taking your kids to a show where the fans are going to be chanting, fuck him up, horse cock, fuck him up. That's a lot of questions.
That's not PG.
Yeah.
No part of that is PG. No. I'm not even sure it's PG-13.
I don't know.
That may be MA.
Encourage any of this, but whatever.
So
then we had the most bizarre fucking
thing.
This is
so weird.
Can anyone explain? Don Callis and Ricochet. No, actually, I got to go back. It's explained. Let's take you back to what happened earlier this week. They go to a golf course. Don Callis and Ricochet are golfing. And Davis and Doyle are there on the golf course as well. Out of nowhere comes Alex Marvez, who happens to be there with a full film crew.
Yeah.
How do you guys have time to play golf, he says. Shays, well, we golf every week before Dynamite. Don then proceeds to hype up all of the matches on Dynamite.
Yes.
Last week.
Brian's not screwing this up, everyone.
No.
This was a segment on Collision.
Yes.
To hype up matches that had already aired.
Yes.
On Dynamite.
He hypes up Don Callis Family versus Death Riders, Ricochet versus Jack Perry. They then go to play golf. And I was just thinking, why on Saturday did you air a video from Wednesday to hype up matches that aired 3 days ago? What the fuck is going on?
When he said, my guys have a big match against the Death Riders tonight, I swear to God, I screamed, again?
Yes.
But no, he's talking about a match. He's from the past.
Yes.
Talking about a match that was in his future, but it's in my yesterday. This was a time travel.
It was a
misplaced time traveler.
It was like a segment that should have aired in the first few minutes of Dynamite.
Yeah.
But didn't. And so they were like, well, it's just aired on Collision. But no one thought, well, what is it? Oh, it's hyping up the matches for a show 3 days earlier?
So wacky.
It was so weird. And it was so weird that, like, I thought I fucked up.
Yeah.
So I went back and I watched it again, and I even went back further, like, what are the announcers going to say about it? And all they said was, Don Callis and Ricochet have come to an agreement. And so when I watched it, I'm like, what agreement? They're going to golf? What the fuck is going on? It was weird.
Isla Dawn versus Chris Statlander.
At least this was short.
I thought they had a fun 3 or 4 minutes. It was short. Stat makes her comeback, wins the Saturday Night Fever, and that was that. I enjoyed it while it lasted.
I'm happy because it feels like 6 months ago, they would have given Isla Dawn most of this match.
Yes.
Even though she's never won. Statlander would have come from behind to eke out a victory. Thank God they didn't do that. She did sell a little bit, but she decisively beat her in like 2 minutes.
Yes. Tekla then appears on the big screen to congratulate Statlander, but then she spits on her t-shirt. Says, live long and prosper, because Statlander calls himself an alien. Gives her the middle finger, so that match is on Wednesday.
It is, but this was also bizarre, because, correct me if I'm wrong, Tekla's a heel.
Yes.
Statlander's a babyface.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Tekla, she says, it's too bad this will be your last win as champion. There will be other bitches, she says. She spits on the shirt. The fans start laughing and clapping. And then she goes, live long and prosper. And then they start clapping for that. Like, they're cheering Tekla by the end of this promo. She's making fun of Statlander's gimmick, and the fans are cheering Tekla.
Well, it is a strange gimmick.
It is weird.
Yeah.
And then Statlander goes, I'm going to go teach her a lesson. Did she? I didn't see it on the show.
I assume she meant on Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. Jack Perry does a backstage promo, vowing to take Ricochet's national championship. But this is really about fighting for a friend. I guess Ricochet and his crew took Luchasaurus out.
Yes, that's what they're taught. Well, Luchasaurus is injured, but we didn't know how.
Truthfully, don't remember.
Well, because we don't know. He got hurt. Yeah. And I don't even know what his injury is.
And Jack talked about his long illness he had, and he just came back, and now he's hurt
again. That's all true.
Yeah, and
he did almost die.
They're blaming Ricochet and the demand on, or they're blaming Luchasaurus' injury on Ricochet and the demand. Clips of Ace Austin winning a bunch of matches in Ring of Honor. Then they say he was supposed to team with Austin Gunn tonight, but he had travel issues. I thought, well, that's weird, because they plugged Billy and Austin as a team on Wednesday.
Yes, they did.
I was very excited. So why are you reminding me that somebody else is going to be there when you never said that on Wednesday? That's another time machine gimmick. But the important thing is the match actually happened, and I got to see it. Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher versus Austin Gunn and his dad, Billy. And Billy comes out here. He's 62 in 2026. He is still absolutely jacked. He is still... Like, no matter how big you think Billy Gunn is, he's always bigger than you remember, because he gets in there with Takeshita and Fletcher, who are big people. They're not as big as he is. I don't mean just mean muscles. He's taller than them, too. He did actually take a bump, which surprised me. He takes a bump, and he rolls outside, which leads to Don Callis leaving the commentary desk, and he chops Billy Gunn. It was significantly worse than the chops that Charlotte was throwing, but it's Don Callis, was supposed to be. So Billy makes his comeback after the break, sort of hits a Fame Master for two. They hit the 310 to Yuma, and Takeshita saves. And Billy gets elbowed out of the ring. In the last half of this match, the last few minutes of this match, he's constantly trying to fight back to get into the ring, and they knock him right back out. So it's basically 2-on-1 against Austin. They're working him over. They had a double haluva kick. And he tries one more comeback, but they get the corner kick by Fletcher, the running boot to the face. And Takeshi gets raging fire for the finish. They tried really, really hard to make me think Daddy and Son Gunn may pull this one out.
They did.
It didn't work.
I was going to say.
It didn't work, but they tried.
This match was weird because, like, when it was over...
Because Billy Gunn was in it.
Honestly, it was largely fine.
Yes.
When I heard Billy and Austin versus Takeshi and Kyle Fletcher, I was just like, what? What? But it was fine. With that said, it was the worst tag match you'll ever see Fletcher and Takeshi have together.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, I can't think of one that could possibly be worse.
They would have higher standards than this, yes.
And if anyone on this earth can explain to me why Billy Gunn couldn't take the pin in this match, like a logical reason, I would love to hear it.
I don't know this, but if it does turn out that Billy just plain old refused to, would you accept that as a logical reason?
No.
Okay.
I said logical.
Best I could do.
Also, why is Billy Gunn even teaming with his kid? They feuded for like 2 years.
And
they never made up.
No. The angle where they made up was they came out here on the entrance ramp and hugged. That was a reunion.
That is the most horrible payoff in a long time.
It's not good.
To a 2-year storyline.
It's not good. So after the match, Okada returns. His music hits and he comes on a stage. He is still the international champion, for those of you who have forgotten. Or lost track is a better way to put it. Takeshi is furious on sight and wants to go beat his ass, but Callis and Fletcher hold him back. And that was it. The Demand are very sorry about what happened to Jack's friend. They never called him Luchasaurus, but they acknowledge he's hurt, and they say they're not happy about that. Jack is due a rematch for this TNT title or national title, whichever it is. You're going to get it in my hometown, Ricochet says, my hometown of Las Vegas, Nevada. You better hope you're lucky, because random luck is the only way a Jack like you can be a king like me. I like that line. That was a good line. The Grizzled Young Vets are upset at Eddie Kingston and Ortiz for ruining their moment. They won the match by using a weapon behind the referee's back. And so if you want to use weapons, we can do that too. Eddie completely does not buy their tough talk, dares them to make a move. Jordan Oliver and Alec Price versus Davis and Doyle.
These poor blokes.
So Oliver and Price came out against FTR for like 7.5 minutes. They beat their asses and they got hit with one move and pinned. That's basically what happened. This was a total squash. They died at the start. They died at the finish. They died most of the time in the middle. And they did get to try a dive, but Doyle just caught the one dude, and they threw the geeks head-to-head. They hit a power slam sandwich and do stereo power slams and a simultaneous pile driver and black hole slam for the win. Hey, Davis and Doyle are an awesome team. It's quite great. But yeah, Oliver and Price signed for this.
Yeah. You realize that there are people that say that at the time they were signed, they were like the best team on the indies.
Hmm.
Now they're here as job guys. Yeah. And I've seen people like, oh man, it's great. They're on TV every week. I mean,
I'm not sure they're getting paid.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah. Don Callis is about to cut a promo afterwards, but FTR and Stokely interrupt. They say Callis is a liar and FTR will win the tag match on Wednesday. Darby Allin goes on a road trip. Which, when I say it out loud, I realize that should be a YouTube channel by itself. Darby Allin on the road. I would watch that. He's laughing at the idea that taking a suplex on the stairs would keep him down. It ain't shit, he says. So he goes to someone who will appreciate his lifestyle and the damage he puts himself
you
through.
You would think.
Well, he did, in his own way.
He said, will you stop being a fucking idiot and be safe?
He goes to hang out with Bam Margera of Jackass fame. A guy who has been so messed up. They basically kicked him out of the last Jackass movie, although apparently they're making a new one. Maybe he can be in that one.
And this guy's telling Darby he's out of his mind.
He is, but he's also watching the bump and laughing and laughing and laughing.
Well, yeah, because it's outlandish.
Yes. And they skateboard together a little bit, and Bam falls down.
Almost kills himself.
And Darby's laughing. He's like not supposed to be active right now. He's had health issues. Lunatics. Two lunatics on film here.
Yes, that's exactly what this was.
Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale.
I thought this was a good match with one exception, and that is that on Dynamite, Harley had said that if Sky Blue interferes, I am going to show up and punch her in the face. Remember that?
I do.
So Sky Blue tries to interfere, And so, in fact, Harley, Willow's partner, comes out, and as promised, she punches Sky Blue in the face.
Right.
And brawls to the back. So they paid off what they'd promised. However, the babyface coming out to make the save distracted the other babyface and allowed the heel to get the heat. Who's the agent? Can anyone help me here?
I don't know.
You made Willow look like a fucking idiot. Like, it was a good spot, but why does the babyface get distracted by the other babyface? God!
So I thought the match was kind of forgettable. There were a lot of points where it looked like Willow was in position waiting for Julia to hit her stuff. And whether that's Julia being a step late or Willow getting somewhere too early, I can't say for sure. But it looked like their timing was off. They were not on the same page a few times. And they do a dozen counters, and Willow finally wins with her powerbomb. And there you go. The Rascals are backstage.
They are.
Somewhere. It's not the treehouse. They have munchies. They're talking about the crew. They think the crew would have more fun just hanging out with them, which actually I bet is true. But the crew wants to fight, and there's two crew and three rascals, so they got to figure out which two are going to fight. So they try to rock, paper, scissors. And every time they do it, Myron keeps losing. It's always scissors, scissors, paper every single time. Eventually, he gives up. And so the match is official. It'll be Zachary Wentz and Desmond
Xavier.
It's
the same thing every time.
Yes.
Okay? And first it's like, best, they go, and then he's like, best of three. And they go, and he goes, best of five.
Yep.
And then he goes, best of seven.
Yeah.
So by about the sixth time that Wesley does it, he forgets the same one he's been doing six times, and he did the wrong one, and then has to change it, and he pops himself. I was like, oh my God. I like this gimmick.
The Rascals are crew.
Three maniacs.
Rascals are a lot of fun. So yeah, so we Zachary Wentz and Desmond Xavier versus crew at some point. Alex Windsor and Jamie Hayter have a tense meeting with Unsettling Music. Now, I watched the show, so I recognize these people. And I also, somebody else mentioned this online, so I knew who it was. They never used each other's name.
Never had a graphic.
There were no graphics.
No.
I mean, Jamie's dresses outlandishly anyway, for now. But Alex is just a woman shouting at me.
Who hasn't been on TV in forever either.
Has not been seen
in
months.
Like she's on TV every week.
Yeah, yeah. But they have a tense meeting with Unsettling Music. And I guess they're going to team because Jamie says, well, I guess we need matching outfits.
I believe they've agreed to become a tag team.
There are no names or graphics at any point here.
All right, you take the main event. I'll take this one. Andrade and Magnus. Yeah. So the match itself, like, it was fun. But I am just like constantly befuddled. Maybe I'm old. Andrade starts this match, and he's wearing a shirt, okay? So from the moment this match starts, Andrade is doing everything in his power to make sure the fans don't cheer him. So, for example, he starts wrestling, and he's killing Magnus, and the fans start chanting, take your shirt off. So Andrade teases, and then he doesn't take it off. So then he goes, and he chops Magnus. And the crowd chants, one more time! And so he ties him up in the ropes, and he rears back, and then he kicks him. So Magnus makes this big comeback, and I'm like, okay, clearly he wants these people to not like him. But then he cuts off Magnus, he takes his shirt off. Everybody cheers, yay! He rolls it up, he's going to throw it to the people! And then he throws it on the ground. So then he goes over, he finds this lady, who actually in real life is a worker, Sophia Sivan, who actually might be brought in, maybe. But he takes a selfie.
I don't think it's coincidence she was in the front row. But
and then, you know, gives her his number, and they cheer him. So then they go to commercial, they come back, he's got no pants on. Because during the break, the fans chanted, take your pants off! And so he took his pants off.
So we've got a male stripper on the Horsecock show.
And they cheered him like crazy.
Yes.
And so Magnus makes a big comeback, and he hits a senton off the top, and Andrade kicks out at one, which, if you're treating Magnus like a guy, you're kicking out his move at one, why did this match go so long?
Yes.
And then Magnus hits a move, or Andrade hits a move, and Magnus kicks out at, well, actually, no, Magnus lift, or Andrade lift, whatever, anyway. He finally hits knees in the corner, pulls him up at one, hits a DM, gets the pin, and by the time this match was over, I was like, am I supposed to be cheering Andrade or booing him? Because the first half of the match, he did everything in his power to get you to boo him. Tease something and then not deliver. Tease something, not deliver. And then the entire second half of the match, you want my shirt off? You want my pants off? Like, everything he did from the second half of the match was, like, to get the crowd to pop for him. So I don't know what his plan is, if he has a plan, but this match was bizarre to watch.
I thought this was Collision, the problem with Collision in a nutshell, because they spent 10 minutes. It should have been a 2-minute squash. They spent 10 minutes letting Andrade do whatever the hell he wanted, whether it was what they wanted, whether it was what they had planned, who cares? Andrade just go be out there for 10 minutes. They give him all this TV time. He was never seriously threatened in this match. He could have won it any time he wanted. And they say it's Andrade versus Swerve on Dynamite. Well, gee, who's going to win that? Like, why should I get invested in anything that happens in the show when all this show does is promote guys who then lose on Dynamite? It's a classic Collision booking. They should have a soft brand split. Stuff that happens on Collision should set up matches and angles on Collision. And so the people who get over on Collision actually get over, rather than getting over on Collision just so they can do a job on Dynamite. It makes this show feel like a waste of time. Your main event, which Brian didn't watch, was Roderick Strong challenging Claudio Castagnoli for the CMLL World Heavyweight title.
I will watch this right after the show.
It was good.
Unless you bury it.
No. It was a good Collision main event. There's most Collision main events are good matches. This is a good match. In particular, I will note Roddy is so great because Claudio is like 8 inches taller than him. I don't know, 60, 70 pounds bigger. But Roddy is so relentless and so intense that you actually feel bad for this giant Swissman as this little guy is beating the fuck out of him. But finally, Claudio drops him across the barricade and gets the heat. And they go back and forth the second half, and Claudio keeps working the leg. Roddy gets the strong hold, but Claudio gets the ropes. So Claudio cuts him off with a giant swing and then wraps his knee around the post, working the knee over more. Wheeler Yuta gets involved for more interference. Orange Cassidy takes Wheeler out. Claudio takes Orange out. So when Roddy is running wild in the ring, Claudio pulls the ref in the way to cut him off, gets a one-legged giant swing, which is pretty incredible, and then hits a neutralizer to make the pin. And Moxley was in commentary the entire match, and Claudio gets the win. And Moxley turns to the others and says, "Gentlemen, that was a professional job." I said, "God damn, it's right. That match was a professional job."
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll watch that one after this.
Yeah.
I do send all my reports to the front page and to my ex-subscribers, so that one will be going out here soon. I did all the rest of the reports already this week. And again, this show is free, so if you like it, hey, you should sign up right now. It is WrestleMania season, which is always a hot time of year, honestly, for every company, because AEW always picks up during Mania season as well. They got a pay-per-view coming up in March, and we'll be covering all of that and all of the rest of the news. So if you want the whole shebang, WrestlingObserver.com. If you just want the audio and or video, we have got Apple, FRWOnline.com/Apple. We got Spotify and YouTube, both have audio and video, FRWOnline.com/Spotify, FRWOnline.com/Apple. However you're listening to this, you can sign up for it and get everything. So I'll be back tomorrow on Observer Live, Filthy Tom Lawler. We'll have a lot to talk about there, and then later on in the evening with Dave Meltzer as well. No Dave show tonight. He was up with Garrett yesterday. We'll be back tomorrow with more. And Vinny and I on Tuesday for a couple more weeks of the...
I think 3 more weeks.
I think it's 2 or 3.
2 or 3, yeah.
20 years ago on TNA Impact. And I've got a lot of people in the last week or so. They want us to do AAA. The AAA TV show instead. It's an hour on YouTube every week free.
Right.
And I've had a lot of people suggest that. So you're welcome to keep putting your suggestions in, everybody. But that's it. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.